Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate.
Now listen to this.
Welcome to a snowbound edition of Soma Time, where the only thing you cannot overcome is my computer, as my little theme song is being waylaid here as I steamroll to the website and bring you another exciting edition on Wednesday night that nobody, I mean nobody, is out but me. Hopefully you guys are snuck up next to your computers and ready to participate, because I'm not sure if I'm getting to the server here as the computer meanders its way. It's about as sluggish as the rest of us after what was an underwhelming but annoying snow day here in the beautiful downtown Larchmont area. The number to call to participate tonight, and I'm not sure if I'll be able to even get you guys on the air because I can't get to the damn server yet, is 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. Kind of a, you know, meandering kind of show tonight because we're sort of in between a lot of different things right now. You know, we just got through the Super Bowl. I'll give you a little take on that and how that went and a lot of the aftermath. I don't know if you guys watched the parade yesterday down in New Orleans, the so-called Lombardi Gras, the party with Lombardi that they had down there. I don't know, if you're living in the New Orleans area lately, you've been telling your story just about every reporter that comes out from under a rock, and you've basically been drunk for about a month, as if that's not, you know, the rule down there, with all these football parties, because, you know, you party when the Saints beat the Vikings for 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Now you've been partying for a couple of days after they won the Super Bowl and somehow beat the Colts on Sunday. And then you're going to go steamrolling right into Tuesday for Mardi Gras itself. What do you do for an encore? I mean, basically, you're looking at about 3.5-4 weeks of nonstop, you know, sort of socially sanctioned reasons to get, you know, pickled. And, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things where we're kind of like romanticized a lot of the trauma that's going on down there. It's just unbelievably awful what those people had to endure, and not just in New Orleans, but the whole Gulf Coast. And I don't know if you watched it on MSNBC. There's a group of Indians actually in North Dakota that have had just a god awful winter themselves, and they've been basically out there without heat, without, you know, they had a bunch of churches like donating shoes to them. You know, it's like, that's how bad it is. You know, we've become a sort of a society that that is perpetually, you know, like you know, plugging the holes in the dike here, you know, to use a phrase. And I don't know if all this sort of Band-Aid type mentality is really helping anybody, because we just see either the charities are corrupt, or you know, there's political problems, or there's crime in getting the aid to the people that need it. It just seems like it's perpetually one thing or another that just delays A getting to B. And when you have that big of a gap between the have and the have-nots, you're gonna have that. You're gonna see that over and over again. So, you know, as we kind of shift gears here and get our head out of our butt and start looking at the bigger picture again going forward here, because, you know, this weather actually is useful in a way, because it illustrates just how fragmented everything is and how sort of almost like cogwheel the reactions are. I mean, the Washington, D.C. area, I saw pictures of that today a lot. I mean, it's not for nothing. You got a lot of snow. We know this. But you're Washington, D.C., you're not Podunk, and they haven't cleaned the streets yet. And now they got another storm on them today, winter's not over yet. You got another 4 or 5 weeks of potentially getting more snow. I hear more snow's coming around here in Larchmont on Monday. I've seen enough. I was just out in it, and it's slushy. It's heavy snow. It's going to freeze. It's going to be ugly here for a couple more days. But the beautiful downtown streets of Larchmont are, you can see the pavement. They're crystal clear. You know, side streets, tertiary streets like Cooper Drive. In case you have a plow out there, you're listening to the show, you could be, you know, do me a favor. And it looks like I'm in Utah, where I'm parked on in front of my apartment over there. So let's see if we can start the show right now, as I've gotten at least as far as Napster in the last couple of minutes here. As we can, I don't think I'm on the server yet. Nope, still efforting that. I had a new service come on board over the weekend. This it's called Live PC Support, where they do the remote access to your computer, and did a great job on my my home computer, and not so good on the computer here at the office. I figured a day like today, I let this guy clean up my computer, and I could go home. But apparently, I got to babysit everybody, so he didn't get to finish it. And consequently, I'm not on the server at 9:06. I got here 8:47, thinking that a good 13-minute sprint would be enough for the computer to get itself together and get me on the beautiful Blog Talk Radio switchboard, as we know that works so well. And I'm not sure what's going on with Napster now. Napster's being temperamental now. What else is there? Anyway. So, again, what I want to get across tonight is that there's a couple of things that, before we have our guests pipe in at 9:30, we're between seasons here a little bit, right? We put the footballs down, the baseballs get picked up next week, we got the Olympics starting on Friday, we went from the groundhog, who was very right, by the way, two big storms, but he's thumping his chest, and now we're getting close to Valentine's Day, which we alluded to last week. And I don't know, the attitude, there's a movie coming out called Valentine's Day. We're very bittersweet about the entire topic, but what I want to get into is this crossover that's gone on in the last maybe year and a half, 2 years, where entertainment and sports, that E and the S and ESPN, are sort of merging together, and you've got the branding of individual players. Now, this gets heightened during, you know, Super Bowl week, things like that, you know, and they, of course they use to sell products, things like that. But it's not so much about performance as it is about appearance. So, you know, this skier, his name is, eluding me right now, if you guys can remind me, who's on the Sports Illustrated cover, and she's a big deal. She's a great athlete, but she happens to look good in a bikini, and they slapped her in the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated. And they had her on the cover the week before with her butt up in the air, and everyone made a big deal about it. The sexual sort of aspect of sports as it relates to selling and branding these athletes is something that it's so root biology. I don't care what society you're in. You stick a hot guy or a hot girl next to any product, and it's going to attract eyeballs. This is not, you know, rocket science. The thing is that what does it say about us as sort of slugs to beer that we can't understand the difference? We can't see past it. Is our biology that powerful that we can't see past it because we're so image conscious in this culture? And the thing is that we feed that because on the other side of the street, of course, this new phrase, I love this phrase, diabesity, you know, with the kids, you know, that we're raising that basically are pre-diabetic. Because of the diet and because of their lifestyle. And I'm just curious, like, how does all this kind of, like, resonate with you guys as we go into the Love Weekend 2010? Starting off an Olympics that hardly anyone's going to watch, by the way. This is a huge ratings loss. We're going to have Eric Qualman on next week from Socionomics to talk about how that's happened, why the Olympics such a dud. And remember, you know, we had the Michael Phelps was a sensation. We almost need to have record-breaking performances to even notice that they're going on. It's not about countries anymore. It's not about us versus them anymore. It really isn't. It's become much, much more of a, like I said, it's sort of a who gets on the Wheaties box kind of a thing. It's not so much gold medals. It's who makes a sensation, who raises an eyebrow, who gets attention. And the figure skating, I'm sure, will be, you know, sensationalized and all that. So there'll be a lot of that as we go forward. But let's see, before we get too deep into the mud here at 10 after 9, I think it's time for a little restart of the show. So the song I was supposed to play, the theme of the show, from the artist Sparks, the album Angst in My Pants. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Everything fits now. Is the song Eaten by the Monster of Love. Let's get a little groove on here. Get ourselves going here. Restart of the show there with a little cut from Angst in My Pants by The Sparks. One of my favorite movies of all time, Valley Girl. Check it out. Netflix, all that. All right, guys. Thanks a lot for that. That really jazzed up the show. And I'm still sitting here trying to get to this dopey switchboard. Anyway, the number again to call is 646-478-4847. We've got Gabriel Bernstein coming on 9:30. If I can get to the switchboard, Val chiming in. We're trying to ease into the show here on a snowbound Wednesday night. And again, the theme here is we're talking about, and I'm going to get into some of this in the way I work, is that when you're dealing with the topic of love, are we taught how to love, or do we know instinctively what love is on a biological level? The soma says one thing, the society says something else. And I'll try and connect the dots here, hopefully, between you, me, and the tree as we migrate through on a Wednesday night here. Let's see. I am on the switchboard. 9:12. 10:10:10. And nobody's there. Ah, and to our friends there from Live PC Support, I give you the Batman salute.
You filthy criminies.
Thanks for nothing. Tried to make the computer all nice and smooth. Anyway. So, as we get ready for our guest here, one thing I want to get across, the website is under its transformation, and later on tonight you will see on the homepage a new service called Doctor on Demand. I'll do a little live commercial for you here. It's been 19 years of this, of me basically working here on the ground and, trying to get people to see a different path that they've been looking for pretty much under every rock. And what I want to do now is sort of formalize this thing, because I've been operating on the lunatic fringe pretty much, even within my own circles. I started out as a chiropractor, still have the label up on the wall, but for the most part, ain't no chiropractor doing what I'm doing, Willis. So you're out there, doing stuff that's sort of in the gaps there. So I decided to let the rest of you guys on the web, in on the fun here. So the first wave of my 30-day relief and renewal online consulting program called Doctor on Demand starts on Monday, February 15th. So I got room for 50 people at a time, and the next wave will leave on March 1st. And I take you through a guided course in coherence. Ah, it addresses all this confusion I see that's only going to increase as whatever passes for healthcare down in Washington, comes out of the mud. But you can get a free somatic checkup from the neck up and decide if you want to dance with the doctor at somaspace.org/DOD411.html. Or just, patiently wait a couple hours. I'm going to slap it up on the homepage. You just click the link. Doctor on Demand, real help from a real doctor. That's me.
There you go. Flippy toots his horn. Nobody chimes in. All right? Yeah, wait, I'll toot my own horn. Here you go. It's going to be a long night, my friends, if no one's going to chime in here, because I'm in a saucy mood. So, you know, again, to reiterate the theme here, you have this sort of, I want to say social, but it's sort of a communal pressure to develop an image in the world. Now, you don't really have to do this till you're an adult, so to speak, but you see it happening all the time with teenagers and kids and babies even who have websites, you know. It's amazing. And that image of you, that projected version of you that's supposed to be perfect, that's supposed to be impervious to the slings and arrows, because you're corporate now, you have something to protect. And you see it happen all the time. Look at yesterday, a couple days ago, they trotted out that Steve Phillips, you know, who just got out of the sex rehab. And, you know, he's basically the... the spokesmodel now, he's going to basically give us the inside scoop on what Tiger went through, because you're not going to get a peep out of Tiger. And it just becomes, like I said, it's a cyclical process where we love scandal, we love controversy, we love, you know, gossip. That's what the culture's become. I was talking about it, you know, on the Year in Review show, if anyone caught that. That was basically saying that we've become a TMZ culture. We've become a culture that is completely absorbed in gossip. And that's what social media really has become, one big water cooler. You know, we're out there just gossiping. You've seen them in the news the last couple of days. Charlie Sheen had a domestic dispute. We had one over the weekend out at the Super Bowl with our Philo friend there, Warren Sapp. I don't know what was going on with Warren, but he was pulling one girl off the couch because another girl was coming in and all hell broke loose. So, you know, and I wrote a list down here. This is, you know, typical. I had a list of all these safes I wanted to go through. I'll probably find it about, you know, 11 o'clock tonight when you guys are all long gone. Anyway, just think about all these people that have been in the news that you haven't really had time to really kind of calibrate them or put them all together in your head, because the next one keeps coming over the hill. And it seems like we're in a culture now that loves to sensationalize these things. Last Friday they had the woman on, you know, from... was it West Virginia, you know, with the guy, the Appalachian Trail guy. You know, we had the guy in Chicago last weekend who won the primary election and then was forced to leave. Wow, I don't know what I did with that list. You know, with the whole knife to the throat thing, was it a prostitute? Who was it? Is this it? Yeah, here's the list. Ah, got it. Okay, yeah, Scott Lee Cohen. And talked about the governor, Elliot Spitzer, who is he running again? You know, and I mentioned our friend from SI there. Let's see, what's her name again? Yeah, Lindsey Vonn, who now is, you know, injured. Why don't even play? But it doesn't matter. Her brand is made. So all of these things, you think of all these guys. Steve Phillips, pretty prominent baseball guy. In his circle, pretty prominent guy. He gets taken out for sex addiction. Tiger Woods, of course, you know, most famous one. But we've had governors, we've had, you know, just about every level of human popularity affected by this phenomenon, where you have toxic, unbalanced, dysfunctional, intimate relationships on parade. That's why there's such, you know, a plethora of talk shows about it. I mean, that's why there's Oprah. That's why there's Dr. Phil. Do we know how to have these relationships? Or has our society become so fixated on ego and protecting itself, that feeling the vulnerabilities of a relationship and understanding that not everything stays at its peak all the time. In fact, nothing does. Everything has a rhythm. See, this is where the Soma can chime in a little bit and maybe educate you, saves a little bit. What the Soma says about all this crapola is nothing more than low coherence and poor domain exchange. Okay, so I'm going to take you around the four domains here before we get our friend up at 9:30, see if this helps you explain a little bit more to yourself about what, when you're seeing before you, is sort of a homogenized version of the events, okay? So we'll take the latest, who's the latest on the apology tour? It's probably this Scott Lee Cohen guy in Chicago, you know, with the whole knife to the throat, didn't know she was a prostitute, thought she was a massage therapist, thing. He wins the primary, has to quit.
quit the election. But I want to go to Sarah Palin for a minute, all right? Because she was out there last Saturday night pumping her philo self in front of the teabag thing, which is another useless kind of an awkward metaphor. And, you know, with the hand, the notes on the hand, the whole thing. Now, if anyone's followed this program, they know that, you know, Sister Sarah is a card-carrying philo. And by being a philo, she gets her coherence. She gets her energy. She gets her clarity from her relationship with others. That's why when a philo becomes popular, it's almost like icing and icing. There's no cake. She feeds off the attention. She feeds off the adoration of the crowd, but she bonds with the collective. When she chunks down at the individual, she becomes a typical philo who likes to talk about and gossip and exclude. That's the way they're wired because it's a herd mentality. Now, that's 68% of you brains listening to me. So it ain't uncommon. If gossip was uncommon, it wouldn't be gossip. There'd be nobody to tell it to. The other three domains, which have a completely different orientation than this philo one, don't accept or transfer or glorify or participate a lot in the gossip hounding because to them it's not something that they find useful. So you take a typical onto, like your, let's go through the list. Oh, I don't know, your Elliot Spitzer. Big time onto, right? Made his apology, disappeared for, seems like a month. And he's in a position now that he's criticizing the banks, he's writing on Huffington Post, he's on MSNBC, he's brazen, okay? Now, what's even funnier, is his eco-sidekick, whose name escapes me, probably for good reason, is writing a sex column in the Post. So the hooker that got outed, who should wear a bag over her head if she was a philo, is celebrating it and taking advantage of it because she's an eco. Ecos are empathic, emotional, egalitarian, and do not care what society says. They flaunt it. It's a New Orleans attitude, I guess, if you want to call it. And that's why it's when you see the eco and the onto relationship, you have the rule maker and the rule breaker. Now, here's the guy Spitzer who broke the rules, did his little apology, didn't mean it, completely didn't mean it, did it to politically neutralize things, went into seclusion for what seemed like a week, and less than a year later, he's back out there being a political pundit. Sarah Palin loses an election, quits the governorship, resigns from everything, and is now the leader, and I love the word titular leader, of the teabag movement. You can't make it up. We have this guy Brown get elected up there in Massachusetts, right? Now, what's he? Interesting case. Because he is what I would call a junkyard philo. All right? Now, that means they got a little onto in them, a little edge to them, but they have that man of the people feel, so he doesn't look threatening. Right? And what does he do? He does the little hokey-pokey with the teabag party. They back his election, then he distances himself afterwards. He doesn't really embrace Sarah Palin. He's sort of playing all sides. So when you see these people and their behavior and their rhythm, you start understanding how do they exchange with their surroundings. Well, all that scales down to the love relationships, and that goes into how we idealize and how we objectify what love is supposed to be in our lives. Now, on a biological level, we're just mammals. Mammals like to rely on other mammals. We're social. We have that feeling of the family unit is core to our being. Again, back to the philo domain. This is survival, folks. The other three domains, onto myself, eco, the surroundings-oriented person, and the one I didn't mention, the exos, are ostensibly more and more and more cognitive, more and more and more elusively related to the big picture. They're much more chunked down to their own surroundings. Where the philo thinks about the big picture all the time, because they're connected to everything, right? So when you look at these scandals as they come up, you just if you're able to profile them, and you know understand when you see a domain exchange, when you see the onto philo relationship, for example, the traditional Archie and Edith type of relationship, you know the man is the onto, the woman is the female is the philo. And that's a traditional 1950s relationship. We don't see that a lot now. We see a lot more onto women with philo men, which mixes up a lot of things in terms of our social behavior, the sexual personality differences, all that stuff, and all the brain differences that come up. Then there's generational aspects to it as well. You know, so when you see these scandals come up, you notice how the pattern is usually, I'm sorry, right? The guy got caught, he's sorry, right? He apologizes to his family, he apologizes to you, he apologizes to the mailman. He goes away for what seems like a, you know, to do the therapy tour. Then he comes back for redemption. And then he's usually right back where he started because the society doesn't care about what happens to you on your intimate level. It cares about, are you productive on an impersonal or on a more of a cultural level. So we can tolerate a lot of behavior that is aberrant, that is dysfunctional, that is toxic, that is damaging, that is local to you if you're able to still be productive out there in the world. So sometimes it's like almost like points on your license. You know? Well, infidelity, that's like 2 points. Infidelity with a minor, all right, you got to go to jail for that, I think. You know, it's like for a little while. All right, you held a knife to the prostitute's throat. All right, you got to resign. You know, like, so sort of a sliding scale of punishment and reward here. Look at Letterman. He's exo to the hilt. He's had, you know, all kinds of things going on. And he, out of all the late-night talk show hosts, is winning. Has his reputation been damaged? No. Has his credibility been undermined? What, as a comedian? It's hilarious what happened. So our culture is extremely turbulent, effervescent, and it has no stickiness to it. We don't hold, you know, even the Polanski case, you know, over the winter where, we, you know, he was now in house arrest and somebody paid his bail. It lasted for a couple of days, and we're right back where we started. You know, it's almost like the culture has bigger fish to fry. We got wars, we got economy, we got other issues going on. The gossip, even though it's so prevalent and so just omnipresent, I mean, it's everywhere. You know, what's going on with Brad Pitt again? You know, is he back with Jennifer? I mean, it's a constant soap opera. I think what's happened in the last 5 or 6 years, because of social media's rise, there's such a propensity, there's such a you know, such a volume of this discussion that we're numb to it. We don't care. You can hardly sensationalize anything anymore. It gets its news cycle. It gets its couple of minutes of, you know, frowning faces from the cable heads. And then we're right back where we started. The Bubble Boy family? Distant memory. Distant memory at this point. So what does it say about us? Are we becoming more superficial, more lazy in our intimate relationships? Do we understand that they're not sustainable anymore? Do we not look at marriage as you know, this thing that's contested politically and ethically and religiously all over the place? Do we not look at it as what it is, an institution in dire need of being modernized? Or do we say to ourselves, you know, again, we have bigger fish to fry, and so we leave everybody up to their own devices. The critics say what they're going to say. You have your little circle of support, because you go on with your life. Because at the end of the day, like I said, what are you going to do about these bigger things that are going on if you're in your intimate relationships, support and contact and all those things we associate with love, understanding, compassion, are so fleeting? Where are we going to get that from? Now, me, being a summer boy, I understand a little bit differently from my experience of how these things work in terms of the rhythms and the cycles and all the other stuff. But I want to get into your perception of it. I can't do that without you, so I'll ask you again, give us a call, 646-478-4847, 646-478-4847. We should have Gabby up here in a minute, so I'm not going to get into anything new, except to say, if you haven't subscribed to our OVI newsletter, which is on every week on Sundays, you can check it out at somaspace.org. That's of vital interest. My weekly woo letter, as the you could get all our information and everything that you can do to keep your vitality up and running. And we got lots of new features coming along. Like I said, they're going to be piggybacked onto the website as we open up Club Soma soon, and there's a lot of things rolling out on the site. And the reason why, like I said, is I'm trying to become more available to you guys between shows, using this show as a forum. A lot of the things I've been consulting about the last week or so, maybe 10 days or so, as we get past the holidays and past the, you know, the New Year's stuff, and we get into the grind here this part of the year, is a lot. This is February, big month for suicides, big month for depression, big month for deaths in the family. February and August being the two big months for checking out and taking a hike. So if you're feeling a little alone and out there, as I hit the cough button here, as I can clear my throat. Let's see, I got it.
All right, that's it. He's fired.
Yeah.
Can I talk to you, Val?
No,
I'm
yeah,
okay.
Please.
I'm back.
Anyway, so if you're going through that and you're feeling that, it's a very impersonal time. We're in the deep part of the winter. This is the most exo-impersonal, lonely time of the year. So if you're feeling that sense of just sort of isolation, it does affect our behavior. It does affect the way we behave in our relationships. Some of us get more clingy, you philo sticky boys, because people are separating more. It's the winter. It's introspection time. The Antos become much more moody because they're flying lower. They're feeling the anger that's going to be brewing up to start the spring in a month. The Ecos are on a plane. They're out of here. They're going on vacation. They're traveling. They're trying to break up the rhythm because they can't stand the stagnation. Same thing happens to us in the summer. At least for this Eco, it's worse for me. In August, at the peak of the summer, when everything's so crowded, because it's the peak of the Anto part of the year where we get extremely intrapersonal and concentrated and almost like, you know, the Ferris wheel stuck at the top of the Ferris wheel kind of a thing. So, 9:31, we're waiting for Gabby. She said she's calling, so we're going to keep staring at the screen here until something happens. And we'll go from there. So, again, to look at these relationships and how we're going to deal with them is one thing. But the other thing is that every single time we hear these gossip stories, whether they're abuse, neglect, alcoholism, you know, whatever the forum is, these things are rampant in the culture already. What are we going to do about ourselves to get ourselves out of that social stress? Because if you have that in your life, that is your life. If you have an alcoholic in your life, that's your life. If you have an abusive spouse or partner, that's your life. You're dealing with that all the time. There's no day off from that. Coming out of the weekend, you know, a lot of gambling going on, you know, last weekend. People picking up the pieces for that 3 or 4 days later. So these social stresses that don't go away, that are sitting on you all the time, they force you into survival mode. And it's almost like, you know, when you have your computer, your windows are on safe mode. You don't have your full faculties, so you don't make good decisions. What's your fallback zone? What's your backup system? What's the way that you go outside of your skull to get support and answers? This is why, you know, like I said, I put together the Doctor on Demand program as a means to get people some structure and some almost like a net under them, literally on the web, a net on the web, so that they can understand how these rhythms work. Because if you have the perception, the Pollyanna's perception, that life's supposed to be perfect all the time and everything's supposed to just work out great, and every time it doesn't, you get to, you know, voice your concern about it, and you don't learn how to function in the valley. Everyone can function at the peak. Oh, it's great when the elevator goes up. But it's when the elevator goes down and you're on the bottom floor and you have to go through all that, that people don't have the best resources. And that's why, you know, doing the show, it's like I really want to give you guys a forum to understand that something might get on your nerves, but something doesn't get in your nerves. And that's really what the difference is here, is that a lot of things get on your nerves. A lot of things annoy you. A lot of things get you, you know, irritable. But if you internalize that, and since we're 80% memory and we love to associate our memory with other events and generalize things and awfulize things, and then you get the positive police that come in and try to do the sunshine in stuff and say, cheer up, and it's all yours, and law of attraction. Like Gabby, she'll be here in a minute, I hope. Well, again, maybe we can just, actually, you know what? Maybe we could just, like, for a minute here, we'll see if this law of attraction really works. We'll all focus really hard on Gabby dialing into the show, and we'll see if our law of attraction helps her call in. Let's see. We'll give it a minute. Ready? Okay. Everybody go. All right. You ready? Okay. Let's see.
Have you ever transcended space and time?
Time, not space. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Nothing yet. Seeing a thing. So, I don't know. Gabby may or may not call in. She said she was going to call in. All looked good, but she had a little deal tonight. She had her
global teleclass. I guess it got done around 9, so maybe she'll call in. I don't know. But you are free to call in, you lousy bastard. 646-478-4847 as my attitude starts to get a little testy. Told you. And I don't care tonight. All right? I've given you guys an opportunity. Again, the theme is look at one of these. Pick one of them. Pick one of these things that are in the news relationship-wise and give me your opinion about it, because the gossip that comes out of the event is a reflection of your perspective on what goes on. How do you? What gossip do you hook into? You know, that what is it that your ear gets, you know, kind of pulled in from the radio, pulled in from the television, out in the world? Because that's to me what's affecting us on a specific level. The bubblegum culture, that TMZ culture that loves rumor, that loves the innuendo, that loves the backstage story, the inside story all the time, thrives on our sort of susceptibility to provocative information, because we live in a culture where it's all about being basically stimulated, titillated, entertained, and otherwise, you know, dependent on the outside event to get us interested in anything. And that's what, you know, I'm a little bit, you know, kind of fed up with, I guess, on a lot of levels. But it's, in terms of being someone that's out there trying to help you guys, it's almost impossible to get any traction when, like I said, it's all icing and no cake, when it's all fluff, when nothing matters, when literally you have everything short of murder going on out there, and relationships are never taken back into the, you know, the laboratory, so to speak, and looked at as being something that has to be a little bit more appreciated, because they're not disposable. And we live in a society that has a lot of disposable aspects to it, especially when it comes to intimate relationships. That's the way it is. Is that a trend that we accept? Is that a trend that we're fighting off? Or is that something that basically is going against our better nature, longevity-wise and all the other reasons? So, So let's see. Oh, the clip. What do you call it? Just kind of clicked off there. Nope, no caller yet. This is just wonderful. Well, kind of should have expected it with the weather and all. Maybe she's you know, stuck in a snow pile. Law of attraction's not working too good, and so she's not there. Like I tell you. Let's see. Check the board again. Nope, nothing. All right, so I'm going to take a little look around on the World Wide Web just for a second here. Just want to see if there's any reason why. This is me doing my mail on the air out of complete and total fed-upness. What the hell is this now? I don't care about that. Anyone look at this G-Wave thing? This Google Wave thing? It's cropping up. Didn't think so. Beaver. Nice beaver. There you go. Let's see. Gabby, Gabby, hey, Gabby, Gabby, who? Not there. We're all promoting her book, Getting More Ing in Your Life. I've got some ing right now. Frustrating. So, I don't know what happened to her. It is 9:38, though. You'd think you'd get an email or something. Let's see. We had this happen a couple weeks ago. You know, where we had three guests, basically, onto their way through our pilfers here. Look at this. Yeah, the emails are very strange tonight, I got to admit. A lot of announcements for a midweek. Everybody's announcing things. So, I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, I'm going to stay on the air until 10 o'clock at least. I did trudge in here. I trudged through the snow for you people. And I've got this.
I got a bad liver and a broken heart.
That's right. So I don't know what happened to her. Oh, the Gmail buzz, that's what it's called. This buzz thing. And it's supposed to be the big threat to Facebook, I suppose. Maybe Qualman will have some more on that next week. If we get a guest to actually call in, that would be nice. Very refreshing. Let's see what we got here. Doesn't look like much. Hmm. She says 9:30 would be fine. This was last night. Huh? 9:30 was fine. It came and went. Not a sign of her. I don't know, man. Doing these shows for, this is almost 3 years now. I've been doing this show almost 3 years. Right? And we've had 6 times, maybe in 3 years, that the guest hasn't called in for whatever reason. Usually when you're getting promoted, and I am promoting her book, and Get More Ing in Your Life, Gabrielle Bernstein, you show up. I mean, I know if I'm ever given the opportunity to be on someone else's show, I sweat it more than I sweat this show. And when someone else can't even make the effort to give me a phone call or email or throw a rock to my window in the long number of hours it takes to get to 9 o'clock at night, I kind of feel a little biffed. I kind of feel a little like, you know, busted my ass to get down here and feel a little bitter. Again, the number to call, 646-787-8347. I'll be here at least for 10. And I'll be here to get set up. Please call me. Any questions you got about your relationships, about anything coming up, or about where the hell Gabrielle Bernstein is. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree. Won't be the same dear if you're not here with me. And when the snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling. You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. Thank you, Elvis. Thanks for hanging out with us. I think actually I need to hear this again. I don't know why.
There's two things you need to know. Uh-huh. I'm the king. And number two is, look out, man!
That's right. Wow. Wow, what do I have to say? I had a whole, like, you know, line of questioning I wanted to get through with her tonight. So I'm going to pick apart her book by going to her website. Since she's not here to defend herself, I got nothing to worry about. Right? Yeah. So let's see. Well, I'll use this page because I don't want to get nutty. So, let's see. Ing in your life, huh? I got some ing. Ed Ing, right? Is that it? I don't even know the name of the site. Sorry. Checking it out. Whoop, I had it. Yeah. Website is called addmoreing.com. You know, we wanted to get into the dynamics of this stuff. She's got this wildly successful program that she puts people through that helps, you know, helps them deal with their relationships and all that gooey stuff. And Gabby No Here, Gabrielle Bernstein. Let's see. The book, actually, you know what? I got a couple of videos here of her I could play, and we could critique them. Yeah. Now, Gabby is an eco, doesn't know it. I'd like to explain it to her what she is, but you know, I'll give her this this prop here. No clue where she went. No clue at all. Let's see. I'll go here. Bet she made it to Heather Cummings' show, The Shaman. Yeah. Well, we'll see if there's an excuse. I doubt it. I much doubt it. Let's see. There's a little promo for the book here. And Gabby's into all the, she's a Gen Y type, is what her billing is. And hip guide to happiness. There she is on her skateboard and her little wings. Very nice. I don't know, man. How many times have I done this show? Got to be going on about 150. And the question, why, keeps coming up. All right, let's see if we get anything to play on her website now. We battle the elements all day long. I come here, the computer doesn't work, the guest doesn't show up. Roll with it. Just roll with it. All right, here's Gabby's little commercial. See if that'll play for her book. Maybe that'll woo her to the website. We'll see. Website's thinking about it right now. Even the website doesn't want to play. Gabby's not here. Gabby, no home. Ooh, funky music. That's what I need, theme music. This is from our website. Bunch of chicks with wings on. Here we go.
So that they can see differently and they can experience their lives differently. And as a result of changing your internal state, you change everything else that happens around you. I'm Gabrielle Bernstein, and I'm the author of the book, Add More Ing to Your Life, A Hip Guide to Happiness. The mission of this book is to connect the reader to their inner guide, to their ing. When you're connected to your ing, when you're connected to your inner guidance system, you're acting from a place of inspiration and intuition, and you're not coming from a place of fear. So every chapter in the book helps the reader relinquish their fears from their past and recreate their present moment.
It wasn't until I met Gabrielle and found the tools to turn inward, was I able to make myself a happy person and really be grateful and love my life.
I really feel like my life has completely changed, and I feel lighter. I feel completely guided throughout the day.
So what happens when you apply the ing equation is that you change your thinking, and then you change your feeling. And as a result of changing your feeling, your whole world changes. What you feel, you attract to you. So if you're feeling crappy, you're going to attract crappy. If you're feeling great, you're going to attract greatness. And so the whole purpose of this book is to shift your thinking so you can shift your feeling, so you can shift everything else that happens around you.
I am so excited for Add More Ing to Your Life to come out in bookstores because it will give other people the opportunity who have not been able to come to Gabrielle's lectures or group coaching sessions the opportunity to experience the positivity and inspiration that I have been able to experience with working with Gabby.
If you're looking to make positive changes in your life this new year, check out this book, January 12, 2010. Ask for it in your bookstore. Add More Ing to Your Life, A Hip Guide to Happiness. And for more information about me and my work, you can go to www.addmoreing.com.
Come into my world. All right, there you go. Just gave her a little commercial. My IM's been calling in. So, anyway, if you guys have any questions, again, the chat room is open. I'll be here to release another 10 or 15 minutes. Any questions about what you're doing for Valentine's Day, what the different domains would say about it, I'd love to answer your questions. You got to call the show. You got to chat with me. I'm sitting here. I came to the snow for this. See? Is my inner feelings coming out. And, you know, just to give you guys a strategy for it, when it falls on a Sunday, a holiday like this, it sort of mutes it. Mhm. And it sort of makes it a little bit more less intimate, more communal, more family oriented because it's on a Sunday. As a holiday though, there's such it seems like a backlash. This movie coming out about Valentine's Day, there's an anti-Valentine's Day sentiment out there, and I understand why. It's the same one that comes up in Mother's Day, Father's Day, all these Hallmark days. That are out there that compel you to deal with relationships that not necessarily are going very well. It's almost like an audit. You know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, oh my God, the conflicts that come up around people that are in their 40s and 50s dealing with these things. It never seems to end. I call it the gauntlet. We start with this one on Valentine's Day. You get through, you know, the spring holidays, Easter, Purim, all these things. A Seder, and that's another family one. And then you get to the Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, motif there in May and June. So from here to June, next 4 months, you've got three or four kind of like, you know, toll booth to go through to get to the summer and get your freak on. And again, this causes a lot of sort of predictable social stress. And how do we approach this? From a domain standpoint, from a somatic viewpoint, and how do we deal with this on a behavioral level? Because it's all memory. We've had 10, 15, 20 years of this, right? So it's always based on how we've dealt with it in the past. Did we deal with it effectively? We use that. Did we deal with it not so effectively? We look for answers. Or are we completely in a turtle mode and just, you know, going over the falls? So, you know, give me your input on that. If I don't get to you on the show, you could always pop me over a Gmail at nakedsomer@gmail.com. Love to answer your questions over there. Coming soon, there's another announcement. Coming soon to summerspace.org, like soon as I get off this show, I'm going to put a feature up on the website called What's on Your Nerves? And that's a place for you to vent about all this stuff, all these different types of social stress. And each week we'll hopefully get some feedback there so I can answer your questions here on the show, get you guys into the mode of dealing with me online as your doctor on demand. Apparently I'm not in much demand tonight with the Gabriel Bernstein crowd, but who knows? Maybe there's a problem with the server. Maybe there was an earthquake. Maybe there's something unseen that prevented her from dialing the phone and telling me she couldn't make it. You know, just let me know. Just let me know is all I ask. Could have mailed it in tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Could have mailed it in, but trooper that I am, showed up for my beating, my weekly beating here. Next week, like I said, I'm going to make sure I get this Qualman on the air so we can beat up the Olympics a little bit and start dealing with the specter that is the branding of athletes. And again, to me, at their own expense, everything in this culture is about exploiting something, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's an advantage you have over someone. And love and relationships have become no different. Because, again, if there's something you can gossip about, you can make some money on it. Look, a caller. Oh, it's another eco. All right, terrible Tom, Modafferi, meanders his way to the clouds. You're on the air in summertime. Help me out.
Hello there. What's going on?
Now,
I hear a lot of talk about religion and stuff like that. You know what
religion?
I mean?
Religion?
I mean, paganism, you know, Buddhism.
Jesus Christ, sit down.
Oh, my Lord.
That's my religion tonight.
You know what the problem is, Mark? The bottom is...
Well, the problem
is
I rely on another eco.
There's no respect. There's no respect for the older religions. You know what I mean?
Older religions? What's old?
Bottom line. It's like, no, we know. What we grew up in. You know what I mean? Bottom line, it's like, no. Listen to me. The minute that we give up our old religion, it's like, you know, break down the whole society. You know, people don't know right from wrong. Next thing you know, you got the mullions moving. Well, you know what I mean. Bottom line, you got to think of it like, it's like the epiphany. You remember the epiphany?
The epiphany?
Yeah. Come on, it was, you know. There was this crazy king, you know. He's, you know, he gets crazy about. He's paranoid about kids. Next thing you know, he's whacking all the kids left and right. Ba boom.
Uh-huh.
And you know, Mary and Joseph, they take the kid. They take him to the stable nearby the weeds. He says, "Get away from this situation." Then these three wise guys, right? They're there in the wish.
And now we're
they jump
quickly, so take it right before bed. Be sure you have at least.
The hell was that all?
Before becoming active.
This is a side effect of Lunesta.
Oh my Lord, up in heaven! What the hell? It's like, you know, next thing you know, I get Jim Morrison jumping on my head.
Call your doctor right away after taking Lunesta.
These three wise guys, they see the sign, they see the stars. They jump in the car and they drive over to the over to the stable. They find this kid in the weeds and whatnot. You know, they get the kid and the parents in the back seat and whatnot. They get the hell, get his ass the hell out of there. That's what you call respect.
Okay.
That's respect for the older religion. No, people don't understand that.
I think we live in a society where respect is not
exactly.
I
mean, come on, look around you. It's ridiculous. Come on, for God's sakes, look at that.
My name is Sue. How do you do? How are you gonna die?
You see, the true wise guys knew this stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't even get through to you. I mean, holy Christ. All I do is wake up and...
I don't think the moral compass is coming back. I think we're pretty much on our own here. What's morality? Where's the morality here?
You got to do right by the neighborhood. That's morality.
Well,
I mean, seriously.
The neighborhood? Well, there goes the neighborhood. What neighborhood? The word community...
Come on,
become,
where you live.
The word community has become hollow. Means nothing.
Hollow.
Hollow. There is no community.
There's
no community. None. There's just a bunch of agendas looking for a community. That's all you got.
You know,
all that's left.
I definitely got to, you know, we got to definitely have a, you know, I'm, the bottom line is like the Gindalone is out of me right now. It's like crazy. You know what I mean? It's like I'm walking around. Thought I'd call you up and say hello. Got the,
that's
got
okay.
The,
thanks for calling in, Tom. You know, the,
but,
the,
you know,
the,
we have
you know?
Next week we're going to have to talk about the hollowness.
Yes.
The hollowness.
The empty word, community. Means
oh,
nothing.
Oh, yeah, well, I, well, you know, it's like, you know, it's like somebody said to me, civilization's a misnomer.
Okay. Okay.
It's a misnomer.
Shoot these scores.
And on really romantic evenings of self, I go salsa dancing with my confusion.
Just remember the Tree Wise guys. They're good people. You know, they got his ass out of there quick.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for breaking up the monotony of my dopey voice.
Yeah, I try my best. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to look around. You have to cowboy yourself. You know, sometimes you have to cowboy your friends. You know what I mean?
I've got to get new friends. All right, man.
I got new friends. What the hell is that supposed to mean? Hey, what that? Is it a shot? Or what?
Oh.
A shot? What was that? A shot? Come on.
Was it a shot? Oh, man. Somebody shoot me. All right, man. Take it easy.
Take care. Hey, touch your ball.
All right, as I know at the time...
Back, going back in all directions, sleeping these insane hours. I'll never wake up in a good mood again. I'm sick of these stinky boots.
There you go, sick of these stinky boots. So, yeah, I'm just checking the ethers here for any trace of Gabby Bernstein, who just completely blew off the show. You know, we did play her promo. Her book is available. Website is admoreing.com, I think. Let's see if I can find it again. It's got lost in the plethora of questions and answers I got tonight. Boy, you just, yeah. Admoreing.com, that's the name of the site. A little depressed. I really wanted to mix it up with it tonight because next week I'm going to be talking Olympics. I got no time for her. But let's see. She's got a whole lecture here about egos and nasty tricks. These things are too long. 45-minute interview, you know, it's too long. Can't play this. Yeah, heck with that. All right, we've given her enough attention, I think, to choke a horse here. So, I don't know. I'm pretty much fed up with the whole process here tonight, so I'm going to cut the show short. That's what I'm going to do, because I get to do that. And I'm not sure what we say about what we did tonight, except that we did it my way. Is there anything else? Let's see. I don't know. I'm going to give you guys a minute here to kind of sort yourselves out. And I'm just going to thank Gabriel Bernstein and her able assistant, Deb, for not contacting me. I hope there's something interesting to talk about next week with respect to her absence. We'll use that in some news. Let's see. I'm going to try out my... let's see. It was over here. Safe fine. This is what I wanted. That would have been her introduction, but she didn't call in. So, you know, I'm just going to do one of the chores here for a second. We'll come back and we'll set up for next week. And I don't know. I'm going to give you guys a little advice, jaded as it is from my chair, about Valentine's Day. See if I got any questions coming in on the back door. And so then I'm just going to say a little thank you talking to our eco friend, Gabby Bernstein, out there in the snow.
How about getting off of these antibiotics? How about stopping eating when I am so low? How about them transparent dangling care? Yeah.
hurting my ears. All right, well, I'm just taking one more quick look around to see if I heard anything from anyone from anywhere, and it doesn't look like it. So Gabby has flown the coop, didn't get her on the show. What I might do, because I'm such a nice guy, what I might do so that I'm not standing here doing nothing next week is see if I can arrange to speak to Gabby for maybe 5, maybe 10 minutes. You know, next couple of days. And either I'll put it up, you know, on the Blog Talk Radio server and just, you know, let it play, or I'll include it in next week's show so she'll get a chance to answer some of my questions. I don't know what else to do. What would you do if you're hosting a show like this? All right, so let's give you guys a little strategy for Valentine's Day. I need a song for that, though, since Gabby's not here. Mary's not here. Let's see. Mocha filled again. That's not really good. No. I guess we got a leftover Super Bowl song sitting here. Might as well do that. All right.
Long shake your body, baby. Do that phone guy no. Long shake your body, baby.
Relax, relax, relax. Let me lower this down. Save somebody's ears. Okay. On with the hootenanny. All right. Boom. And boom.
Come on, shake your body, baby. Do that phone guy. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby. Do that phone guy. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
I don't know what to say. Well, I do. Get through this here. Let's go through a little roundabout, a little somatic circle here of love as we get ready for Valentine's weekend and the Olympics starting and all that. All right, so I don't have my banana. I think I couldn't find that in the interim here. But the Olympics starting Friday. So the game of love, as played by the Soma, begins, of course, with the phylo, the most prevalent of all domains. You will notice them. Because they will do the traditional things around Valentine's Day. They will buy the Snuggie. They will buy the candy. They will buy the flowers. They will buy the cards. They will go through the rituals of hanging the hearts at the doorway. Maybe get you a little one of those bears. They'll buy the pajamas. They'll do everything they're supposed to do as far as the external goes to signify that they are participating in the event. Okay? Now, if they're hooked up with another phylo, whether it be same sex or, as they say in California, opposite sex, they will answer in kind, and they will go through the motions, cards, letters, whatever, all the externals, right? The rest of the somatic circle, and I got to say, it's only, you know, 32%? I can't even do the math. Yeah. So it's like 70-30 against us. So the rest of us out here observe this holiday from afar, and we have a different strategy for it. So if you are a phylo and you're hooked up with an onto, it's all about them. So if the onto happens to be the female, the male phylo will have to pay much more attention, which means not so much the externals, okay? Because ontos aren't so much interested in that. They expect them, but they don't demand them. What an onto wants is adoration. Ah! So they want the sentimental, right? They want something that's going to be significant only to them. So you have to go out of your way to make sure you make that day special
from their point of view to feed the Anto. That way it happens. Because if it doesn't happen inside the Anto and affects them internally, affects their physiology, makes them feel omnipotent, they tend to dismiss it as irrelevant to them. So that's the way you deal with that. Now, if you are the Anto dealing with the Philo, I'm going to point at the Philo's a lot for this, you have to surrender a little turf, and you have to go from the external stuff, right, and deal with some FaceTime, just a little FaceTime. And that means physically being in their presence for longer than you're probably comfortable with, not so much to do anything, just to physically be there. So it's alone time. It's that little window where you just say, okay, we're just going to spend our time all by ourselves here now. That's the Anto Philo. That's 80% of the relationships out there are Anto Philo, okay? All about me, all about you, all right? That's what that is. Then you have the, let's go around the horn here. Let's go Philo Eco, right? The Philo Eco relationship, very kinesthetic, okay? Eco is much more about feelings on the inside. Philo's feelings on the outside, tactile. So again, Eco has to put himself physically in the Philo's presence, and the Philo has to deal with more of the sharing. Sharing is caring of emotions. So it's about doing things that are mutually satisfying to the couple, not unilateral. All right, because that will induce what's called agape, a shared somatic or spiritual vision of things. So there's your Philo-Eco matchup. Philo-Exo, wow, how easy is this? Basically, the structure of the day, being a Sunday, and it being sort of a day you can divide the family up, the Philo goes out with the kids and does something, and the Exo stays back and cleans something. You know, that's pretty much it. And really what's an important part about Philo and Exo are the structured parts of the day. So you have a special meal, whether it's breakfast and bread, whether it's the restaurant thing, whether you get the coupon to go to the local place you want to eat the lunch during the week, you do the bed and breakfast thing, make it about something structured for the Exo so it makes sense. We're going to breakfast at, it's an event. Make it something structured like that. The Exo will appreciate it. And again, the Philo gets the FaceTime, so everybody's happy. Now, those other quirky relationships, Anto, Eco, for example, we talked about before with Spitzer, it's one makes the rules and one breaks the rules. So this is the give-up. With the Eco going towards the Anto, it's much more about giving in to the rules and letting them just, kind of get away with it for the day, do the speed limit. Maybe it's something simple. Maybe it's just a gesture that you go out, you go the extra mile. Maybe you do the dishes. Maybe you throw the garbage without being yelled at. Maybe you do the laundry. Something that just says, I know that you have control over me in your head, and I'm going to give this space up to you and do this for you. Going back the other direction, you give him a little slide. You give him a little pass. You don't berate him for doing things. You let his underwear stay on the floor for a day. You don't enforce the laws. You look the other way. Right? So you give a little space, and you get a little space. That's how that one deals with it, right? The one that's the most combative, though, or we'll deal with the least combative, Eco versus Exo, right? They can have a holiday completely parallel to each other, have absolutely nothing to do with each other, and have a completely satisfying day. So the Eco can go on a day trip and go to a spa and get their nails done, whatever they do, right? Guy or girl, doesn't matter. Get your pedicure, whatever you want. Who cares? Get your rectal hair tucked. Doesn't matter. And the Exo can stay home and fix something, or he can go off and do something structured like he likes to do. Go hunt a yak, whatever they do. And then they just team up in the evening and chat online to each other with their laptops, I'm thinking of one couple in particular, and tell each other about their day. So it's much more about having an unstructured, parallel, and sort of disassociated kind of day that doesn't involve a lot of friction, because that couple loves to coexist. It's not a passion-based couple. It's not a conflict-based couple. Unlike the knockdown drag-out ones, the ones we're going to see on the news over the weekend, which are the Anto versus Exo ones. Because the Anto, again, the rule maker, and the Exo, the ultimate logical person, is impervious to the belief system of the Anto, thinks they're foolish. There's a sense of it's one way or the other. The polarity goes one way or the other. Either they're lockstep with each other, or they're completely taffy pulling apart. So those holidays, especially when you're dealing with anniversaries, birthdays, or Valentine's Day, the seesaw goes one way or the other. It doesn't sit in the middle like some of the other ones I talked about. So you have to determine who has the highest level of coherence, who has the clearest sort of view of things. That's the driver of that particular holiday. So if the Exos run in the show on Valentine's Day, they do something that they believe, this is the logical person believing, that they believe would enhance the other person's experience that day. So it could be something that painting a room, for example, redecorating, starting the spring cleaning, something that says, I'm going to, clear this little path for you, honey, and this is what I'm going to do for you. It's a sacrifice for the exo to think of the other person and those things. For the onto, who is dealing with this logical stiff, this Spock face that doesn't, all you see on Sunday is the back of the newspaper going snap, right? What they do is they say, honey, you work really hard all week. You're out there slaving away, waiting for Gabby Bernstein sometimes to call in, who doesn't call in. You live this very hard life. I'm going to give you what you need today, right? Now, you'd think it'd be something sexual, right? No. The exo doesn't need that. No. What the exo needs is something aesthetic. It could be something as simple as getting his slippers. It could be something as simple as getting a pillow, a blanket. I don't know. Maybe they like they're hot chocolate with a little mushrooms in there. Something structural that they do every weekend that you add a little nuance to, and they will appreciate that because you're giving up, again, something that makes sense, but that you believe would enhance the relationship. So that's how you handle those four domain exchanges. I think I covered them all. And again, any questions about this, I'd love to handle it with you privately. Just pop me an email at nakedsummer@gmail.com. Good luck watching the Olympics this weekend. There should be some interesting things to talk about coming up next week with Eric Qualman. For everyone that endured this hour and 10-minute program, I wish you well this weekend. And, what are you going to do?
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
That's right. So, I'm sorry we didn't get to Gabby. I don't know what happened to her. I'm just one last check of the email just because I'm pining away for the eco. See if she even realized she missed the show. The excuse should be better than the interview, to tell you the truth, if we even get one. So maybe we'll have her on in a future program. I don't know. I'm kind of mad. What do you think? You can actually vote. Gabby on, Gabby off, if you want. NakedSummer@gmail.com. Because I just feel kind of stiffed. There's not even a phone call, nothing. I don't like this. It's very empty. So let's see if I can find the song I was looking for. I doubt it's on here, though. I'll look for it here because I wanted to play it before and I couldn't sign it. Let's see. Computer's been doing its thing all day. All right, let's see. This is what you do when you have way too much time. Gabby Bernstein. Inner guidance could have gotten into the show. I guess that thing with the secret didn't work out quite as well. Didn't work out. No. See, they don't have Route 66 on here. All right, I'll settle for this. This is fine. A little Tom Petty to get you into the Valentine's Day mood to sort of play us out today. All right, so again, the website, summerspace.org. We're going to be evolving and changing. We got Doctor on Demand services going up tonight. We got the What's on Your Nerves feature going up tonight. You can subscribe to OVI, the newsletter, get all your woo on. And, we'll see you again next week at 9 o'clock. Eric Qualman joining us from Socialnomics, talking Olympics, talking branding of athletes. And I'll be talking to somebody else besides me and Tom. Not that that isn't something I like to talk to. But what are you going to do? It's Tom. All right, let's see. Speaking of Tom, is Tom Petty ready? Let's see. There you go. All right, everybody. Stay warm, stay safe. Don't eat yellow snow. Have a great Valentine's Day. See you next weekend. Or next Wednesday. One of those two.
And if it's all blows up.
Hell yes. Spiral on, sapiens.